Why are my horses always three wide?
What's he doing on this? No cover. Yes! She's back!
Yellow, welcome to Three Wide No Cover. I'm your host, Mick Wall. Joining me as always, we've got Julian Valance down the end. We've got Simon Marshall in the middle. Boys, I know it's our last show, but you didn't have to go to so much effort in the dress stakes. Julesy, are they croissants?
They are, yeah. Bit of French flavour. I think the French play Australia in the World Cup.
So you picked your side. Well, SD's wearing someone else's jacket.
It's not noticeable, though, is it? It's just like, you know when you see those babies get put in a suit? And it's just like, come back. Have a look at him.
New Thailand special.
There you go.
You're not going to buy this in Hong Kong.
Bob. No, you're not SD.
They got your link wrong, mate.
Oh, well, you know what? Just move on.
We're going to move on? All right. So we're really excited about today's show. We've got a special guest, boys. Sammy Friedman's going to join us, and we're going to talk all things Santa Ana Lane. And, well, I don't really care if we talk about anything else, but that's all I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And we might even dissect the last 400 of the Stradbroke SD, get you to talk us through that as well. I think that'll be good viewing for those of us who backed it. Julesy, let's start with you, where we always start. Let's have a look at the track reports.
Yeah, so we're going to Ipswich. We've got a couple of group races or listed races up at Ipswich. We're currently on a soft six, but drying conditions, so hopefully we can get into a soft five. I think there'll be some give in the track, so hopefully Ipswich can play well, that gives every horse an opportunity. Obviously, Doomben's had a lot of work over the last month and a half and it's struggling a bit. But Ipswich, hopefully, we have a pretty good deck to play with. Moonee Valley down in Melbourne. Soft five at the moment. We've had a fair bit of rain. We had a bit last night. We'll have a bit today. We might have a bit tomorrow. Might even have a bit Saturday, SD.
Where's your umbrella, SD?
Not a lot.
Yeah, that's been a shame. We've missed that in the new studio, haven't we? Rail out 4 metres, though, punters. So very interesting to note. We know that Moonee Valley, when Moonee Valley, this rail comes out, this on-pace bias becomes very prevalent. I'm thinking that you might want to be on speed on Saturday around the valley. The track's going to be rain-affected. Rail out 4 metres. Let's look for those on paces.
Beautiful. And when Julesy tells us that, SD, he's usually right on that stuff. Not saying he always gets the winners, but he usually gets the track report right. So if you are having a punt across a 10-race card, make sure you keep that in mind. I might even be out there, Julesy, just quietly.
Sickos are us.
Come and say hi and we'll have a beer.
You're right, Julesy, and it's generally the case with the rail out 4 there at the Valley to dictate terms. But what can happen at Moonee Valley is that first furlong and a half, a lot of jockeys can go a little bit too quick, and based on the tempo can be sitting duck. So see if they get it right there on the weekend. 10 race card. It's a big weekend.
Huge. But before we get to that, we have a look from our best round the country, as we like to do, boys. Let's have a look at the listed races. We're going to cover the Ipswich Cup and the Eyeliner. So we'll start with the Ipswich Cup. Let's have a look. We've got a short price favourite here. Tradesman's $1.80. Equador at $6. Smart As You Think at $8. Tumultuous, next of the rest at $10. And obviously they blow out from there. Julesy, we'll start down the end with you, mate. How do we tackle this race?
Yeah, well, we'll start with the map. I think Equador on the 7-day backup will go forward. Waterhouse Bot, we know their sort of MO. It's to go forward. And off that 7 days, there's no doubt that they'll go forward on this horse. 21.50, that's where they'll want to be on speed. First Crush might come across. Tradesman absolutely gets the perfect map. I see him ending up being 1-1 from gate 5, D. Yendall, the VL driver. Look, I think this is a perfect spot for him. This is his race for me. Here, second in the race to Egg Tart last start. Ran around about $6.50 second favourite and ran second. Look, Egg Tart was too good, but he ran really well. Sixth run this prep, DK Weir. He is going to be at his complete peak fitness. I think this is the journey he wants. He's the winner for me, and now it becomes the price. The price is the key now. So he's jumping around at $1.80. I will back him if he gets to black figures. I think he's the winner. I can't see any value in anything else. I think Smart As You Think's an interesting horse. I think they'll probably end up being three wide. I think they'll roll forward. Whether they get cover or not is a slight concern for me. So Tradesman, I've got him around about even money. I will only be backing him if he gets to black figures.
Okay.
If he does, he's a bet. But $1.80, I'm happy. $1.85, I'm happy to see him go around, but he looks the winner for me.
Shame you can't bet with Sportsbet, mate. You can power play and get to black figures.
That is a shame.
SD, who do you like?
Watch your odds get bigger by hitting that power play button. Tradesman's definitely the horse to beat. What he needs to learn to do is relax a little bit better. Heading out of the straight the first time when Eggtart beat him last start, he got on the chew, he got his head up for a couple of furlongs there. He needs to reserve that energy. Here from that gate, I think he can do that. I think Tegan Harrison rides the top here, Ecuador for their Waterhouse Bot team. She won't muck around on him, stepping back from the 24 to the 2000. He's hard fit. So watch that ride out in front where he tries to open them up. The toppy, Tradesman will just sit back, get the beautiful run just back in behind them. The key is here, Yendall with the 57 kilos. Perfect weight for him. He's in really good form. Darren Weir, horses, they hold their form. Tradesman is the horse to beat. But if you're looking for a horse outside of the favourite, I think My Giuliano. Third up, I didn't mind his run. He just got held up a couple of times inside the 300-metre mark and it just was against his momentum. And I think that him at the 2,000 metres with a little bit of give in the track now with the 54 kilos, Kale and Waller, at a price. I think you're shopping around the $15 there,
you
Wally.
You are $15 currently, Estee.
Might just fill a hole.
There you go, Giuliano Vance, if you don't mind, Estee. All right, guys.
Is that waterproof?
Yeah, that's all it is.
I can
it's
hear
nothing
it.
Else.
Yeah, really, really solid TV, guys. Shall we have a look now at the eyeliner, boys, and get back to what we do best, which is racing? All right, now this is a much more even affair. You got Tyzone at 420, Mossendale at 480, Most Important 650.
Oh, no.
Lucky Hustlers at $7, Religify and I'm a Ripper both at $7.50. Plenty of horses in single figures here. It's a throw a dart stuff, it looks like, Julesy. What do we do?
It's an open race. Looks an open race on paper. I think the betting will be very open as well. I think I'm a Ripper will lead, and I think Religify, even though it's first up, will go forward, sit outside it. I'm going to start with the favourite Tyzone because I think it's going to be a lot of people are keen on this horse. Mm. It's building a fantastic record. I think 13 wins from 21 goes, so it's definitely a winner. 1350 has had a go over 1300 before, which it did win. Here's the big worry for me with this horse, Tyzone. Most of its wins are off extremely moderate, slow tempos, and it's got the acceleration over that 1100, 1200 to run a really quick section and get over the top of them. It's going to 1350. It's only had the one go at 1300. Has to go to 1350 now. I think there'll be good speed. I think a horse like I'm a Ripper, which absolutely is a bomb at the distance, four or five wins at the distance over around 11 or 12 goes. So it's definitely the one that I think for it to win, it has to go at a good clip. Religify, I think, and those horses will go forward and put a fair amount of pressure on. This is what really throws up a query for me about Tyzone, is whether he can sprint off a really hot run over 1350, and I'm saying it's a big risk. Oof. I think he'll probably start favourite, but I'm going to risk him just on the fact that this is going to be really, really hard, and I just don't know if it's got it in its ability. It comes off a really slow race last start. We're again at tip time, but if there's hot speed in the race, I don't know if it can win. Because he's going to have to come from behind him and then get over the top. Look, Jay Lloyd, all that. It's a lot of factors going forward, but for me, I'd like to see it do it on a fast speed. If it does, it ticks that box, but he hasn't ticked that box for me at the moment. So for that reason, I'm going with I'm a Ripper, who's going to be on the speed, he's going to be in front, and he's going to be extremely hard to run down. With I'm a Ripper.
Nice. SD?
Wow, comprehensive, Jules. That was really exciting, and we've only got two more sleeps to find out how Tyzone will go against this hot speed. Well, he's the horse that I'm wanting to ride in the race.
Oh,
and the reason being...
Surprise.
He drew an outside gate last start, and not everything went right, but good horses overcome it. He's had the two runs for Toby Edmonds now, and he's taught this horse to relax and use that turn of foot. So drawn a really nice gate, in which he has, with the gate three, he drops 3 kilos off that last start win. I reckon he's the type of horse that you can sit on all day, a bit like Santa Ana Lane when we catch up with Sammy Friedman later. Sit on him all day. We have seen him pick a path through them before, and I think that Tyzone is just going to sit back. Now, what he's going to face here at Ipswich is that massive wall. There'll be 5, 6, 7 deep as they turn for home. He just needs the luck inside the last 250 metres to pick him apart, and you watch him. If he's going to win, he's going to win the last 30 metres, and I reckon he's the horse to do it, third up for Toby Edmonds. He's had 21 starts, his horse, for 13 wins, 2 seconds and a third. He is consistent and he's a serious racehorse. So I think we'll find out a little bit more about him. I'm a Ripper, I agree. She drops 2 kilos. The 54 gate six will help her. The 14 back to the 350, that extra 50 metres for her because she just got claimed late last start. Mm. That's going to help her. She'll be the one to run down. But Mossendale for the Galagotas team. He's heading up there after a nice 1,400-metre win at Flemington and he's going to get the run in the race with the 56 kilos. He very rarely runs a bad race, Julesy. So Mossendale from gate four, I don't think you want to leave him out of your multiples.
No,
what a cracking race.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I'm a bit confused. Who are you tipping?
Tie zone on top.
I love it.
And just
you
with
like
Mossendale.
A multiple bet?
Just
okay, an exotic. Yeah, no.
Bill and Bob. Just with Mossendale, you bang on. It's the speed map horse. It's going to be in the 1-1 from right. That gate. And obviously they're going up thinking that he's going well enough to win the race. So bang on. If you like him, we're not going to talk you out of it because he's definitely the speed map horse.
Good stuff, boys. Very, very good. And cracking start. SD, great start. Yeah, absolutely. We are going to take a break and then we are coming back with Sammy Friedman. We're going to talk about Santa Ana Lane and anything else he wants to and we want to. This is Three Wide, No Cover. Yeah, welcome back to Three Wide, No Cover. SD's been kicked out of the seat. He's at the screen. We're going to come to him soon in regards to the strategy. We've got Sammy Freeman. Sammy, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Before we get to Santa Ana Lane, Julesy wants to ask some questions around Scholes. I think he took a bit of a hit on Scholes a little while back, but Scholes obviously redeemed itself. Hopefully you're aboard when it did, Jules.
Yeah, no, look, she's a beauty. But I just wanted to speak to Sammy. Obviously, it's great to have you in and we can sort of try and drill down on her. She obviously ran second as a three-year-old filly in the 1,000 guineas to Aloysia. And just a quick note, Scholes now just going on to bigger and better things. And Aloysia, I think that's about the best we'll ever see of Aloysia, unfortunately. But after that run, did you probably decide that she probably wouldn't be able to become a mile like mare? Did you decide after that the next prep would be set for 1,200 metre races, sprinting races?
Yeah, definitely. No, the 1,000 guineas was sort of, you know, she's probably bred to get that sort of trip, but she's quite a small, stocky sort of filly. We actually had the blinkers on her for that run, and her biggest asset is that when she sees another horse, she finds. So we had the blinkers on her and she rolled off the fence and Aloysia came up her inside and we think she just lost sight of her.
Yep.
We think if we had the blinkers off, we honestly think she probably could have won it anyway. And we obviously kept her at the mile or the 1,500 for the mire, but with no weight on her back. Mm. So definitely after that prep, we decided we'd sort of keep her at the 1,200, 1,400. But she's got sort of good tactical speed, but she can also obviously be ridden quiet, so it opened up a few different options.
For sure. And then obviously this prep back in February, she ran around a 2-1 favourite, I reckon, at Caulfield, the race that Booker won. She ran second last. After that race, were you scratching your head thinking, has she come up, or was there maybe underlying issues that obviously us as punters didn't know about?
Yeah, look, immediately after the race, it was sort of a bit of a head scratcher. We didn't think she hadn't come up because everything leading up to that it suggested that she was in great order. Her work was as good as it had ever been. But immediately after, she was sort of taking in wind behind, so there was just a little bit of an excuse. She'd blown right up. So we had her checked out completely with her wind and her blood, and everything came back relatively normal. So we just more or less put it down to a fitness thing. Like,
yep.
She can get away from you and can deceive you into thinking she's probably fitter than she is.
Yep.
And the other thing was she doesn't race well amongst sort of horses,
okay,
which she was that day, which was very different to how she had been ridden,
yep,
in the past. So there's a few different little issues that sort of all added up to, and on top of that, she scoped a bit dodgy after,
okay,
the race. So there was a few little different things that came together to produce that sort of performance. But we were still after sort of second guessing ourselves on what we'd seen on the track and whether she had come up. But thankfully, yeah.
And after that, so then you went, I think it was Cranbourne, and had a trial. Did she come back and she looked back to herself after that trial and then you thought, OK, we're going to continue with the prep. We went up to Sydney and obviously she won there, and then obviously she ran a career peak winning the Sangster, where she was absolutely brilliant. So was that trial really important for her?
Yeah, it was. It was more, you know, Mark Zara, although he hasn't ridden a Group 1 on her, he knows the horse very well.
Yeah.
And she's not a real flashy trialer. She never has been. She's not a flashy worker. but he knew that she was feeling, you know, as good as she ever had, and she was pulling up a lot better in her wind and everything. So she was just getting fitter and feeling a lot better as the prep sort of went on. And she's the sort of filly that the more work you give her, the better she is. So it was really a case of hammering her yep. until the surround, and then yeah. That was a sort of
result. Beautiful. Yep. There you go. Now, so we've covered Shoals. Yeah. Now, let's give the punters what they really want to hear and what they want to see. SD has fallen asleep because SD's like what? Me. He's a Santa Ana main fan. Okay. SD, you're going to take us through the Stratty. Yeah. And we're going to obviously get Sammy's thoughts around that. But it was a great win. And, mate, let's get the vision up and let's get your take on how this unfolded.
It wasn't just a great win. This is a great example of a training performance because this horse won a Sir Rupert Clark 1400 handicap and he won a coming off a Goodwood 1200 metre win. So here he is for 1350 at Doomben. You can see Benny Mallon. This is the horse's profile when he won his previous two Group 1s. Back, cover, early weight. He's got the best 400 metre sprint of any horse and he's proven that by winning the Goodwood over 6 furlongs. Champagne Cuddle's the favourite. Commits early to sit outside, to come outside of Endless Drama, and Parasta's leading. You can see, watch Jeff Lloyd, the Reverend, on the right rein. He's starting to hang off the fence. Benny's looking 2-3 lengths up ahead of himself. Now, right here, Sammy Freeman, I'm going to bring you in it. Let's roll it. What are you thinking here, watching
yeah.
Ben?
Yeah, no, he had him in a perfect sort of position with the 1350. He wanted to sit a bit closer, and when they rolled off the fence, he didn't handle the bend that well, and as you see, he sort of rolled out, which sort of worked in his favour because he works best when you're going up behind horses, and I was a little worried he was going to hit the front a little bit too soon because most of his Group 1s have been, you know, you hit the front last sort of couple of strides. So I was sort of holding my breath for a bit, but once you cross the line, it was sort of easy going.
Was this a luxury, 55.5 kilos for a two-time Group 1 winner going into this race?
Yeah, we thought
56.5, Esther.
56.5. Yeah. Add another kilo.
Yeah. we thought he was very well weighted, given he'd won two Group 1s and... you know, impending was top weight, but, you know, arguably we had, you know, some of the best form coming into it.
And he must love travelling because obviously he produced in Adelaide for you and again here at Stratty. What, he was a horse early doors. He wasn't a punter's favourite because he'd get back, need all the luck in the world, but now he's really the penny's dropped.
Yeah, no, early days he always showed a lot of ability and he always has on the track. He's a very good worker. And, you know, he won his first start, he won his first couple and Ben Mellon was riding him then. And he sort of lost his form a little bit after the Zetative and it was a long time sort of between drinks, you know, until he won the Wagga Town Plate. But we always knew the ability was there and we were sort of getting a little worried that he was starting to, you know, lose a little bit because he wasn't doing it on the track. But the Wagga Town Plate was a big sort of confidence booster for him and he's sort of gone on from there.
Just a really quick one, and it's going to be really quick. Centre Ana Lane on debut, I think it was at Bendigo. He absolutely smashed the clock like a second quicker than the 64 the same day. Do you have horses at home he's working against that you knew that what his ability was, or do you wait for it on the track and then go match up the times and go, geez, this horse is possibly one of a really good one?
Yeah, I mean, you get horses that work on the track and they can run extraordinary times and they get to the races and nothing happens and that can go on for, you know, a couple of starts and it's very frustrating. So I guess until they go and do it at the races, you can never be certain that that they are what you see on the track. But he was a horse that early days you could watch him do his work and you'd suspect that he was a pretty tough line horse.
Yep.
All right, fantastic. Sam, thank you very much for joining us and talking through that. I was on Centre Ana Lane that day too at Bendigo Jewels. He was about $1.40, but I was a fan from the start. Sam, again, and thanks for dressing up. You've obviously realised the theme of the show is understated, but no doubt we'll hear from you again in the future. We'll take a break now, and we're going to be back from the best around the country and a 3-wide no-cover multi. Welcome back to 3-Wide No Cover. It's time to go around the country. This is where we're going to give you all the winners for the weekend. We didn't last week, but Julesy's told me we'll be back this week and we're going to find you some winners. Julesy, we'll start with you, where we always do, over in the West. What do you got for us?
Yeah, chocolates to boiled lollies last week. Don't worry about that. But very quickly, Wally, just Santa Ana Lane, you backed it, you know, the first one on debut and stuff. Reminds me of The Simpsons, you know, when Milhouse knows the dog before the dog goes to school. Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway, I knew the dog before.
Perth, race 4, number 1, Enticing Star. She's back.
Oh, she is. Winx is back. Okay,
the best
great,
mare in the world is back. She'll be winning. Interesting to note, she's carrying 59, never carried more than 56.
Doesn't matter.
Wins. Yeah, it's enticing star.
Take the price there, it'll be about $1.10.
Correct, but all I'm saying is just put her in the black book because she will get to better races and we're going to get a price about her. And I'm also, that petition, we're continuing with that with the Everest. Come on, come to the party.
Nothing in WA, I'm assuming SD.
No.
SA, Jules?
Race 7, number 12, we'll keep it short, Star Patriot.
Race 4, Big Hammer, the 2,500 metres, had a little school over the hurdles as well. And race 7, number 10, Creance, big improver on a soft track. Hasn't done much his prep, but on the soft track will improve.
Up at Ippy. I assume you're both playing at Ippy for the Ipswich for the Queensland bets?
Yeah, Trademan on top for me. Yeah. Race 7, obviously, in the Ipswich Cup. I think tie zone, but Pomelo will be my best value bet. Race 9, number 7.
Didn't know where to look there. Pomelo's your best, beautiful.
race 3, number 1, we know him. It's Parko.
Big shout out to Parko.
Six and a half length win last start. More importantly than that, was faster than the Class 6 and the Class 3, same distance, same day. It's a sign of a really good horse. Also sign of a good horse is when you're running 1.5 seconds better than the standard time for that track, for that grade. That's what Parko did last start.
There you go.
He could be a very nice horse, Parko.
There you go. He's a very nice man, Jules. Mm. Very good boss.
Big, strong.
So we're very happy with Parko. SD?
Yeah.
Sydney?
Oh, you want to go Sydney? Yeah, not a problem.
That's usually the
So Splendid's a horse that absolutely put a hole in him at Flemington 4 months ago. Backed off a nice trial, chopping around $3 in race 4. And race 8, His Majesty is terrific first up. Had 3 wins at the 5 starts, trialled very well for this. And guess who claims 3? C. Williams. C. Williams claims 3 in Sydney there.
He's going that bad that he's claiming 3 in His Majesty.
I think there's something else going on there. I don't know what that is, and I apologise. We don't have time to cover it off, but I'm assuming Craig Williams is not going to Sydney and covering and claiming 3.
Williams is claiming 3.
Yeah, it'd be like a Chris or a Craig or something.
Yeah, you know.
Not a Craig, obviously, but... Julesy?
Race 9, number 4, Manalo Blahnik. It's got a really nice horse. It's really got a really, really good race in it, and I think it can kick off and win here. It's just got an amazing turn of foot. Just needs a lot of things to go its way, but does have an amazing turn of foot.
$4.50, nice price too, Julesy. Good of you to reach out.
It'll win a really good race one day.
Victoria, boys.
One day.
We staying at Mooney Valley or are we going out rural?
Valley.
Yeah. Valley.
Drake the Valley 10 races. Do you want to do that?
Yep.
Let's do that, Wally.
Okay, we're not doing the whole thing. Just who's your best?
RDD2. We've got 10 races to get through. So RDD2 race 3 for me. Oh, geez, he's Ken's Dream and Demolition form at the track and the trip. He was unlucky last start. Follow him through. And Camdus drops 4.5 kilos. Unlucky also last start. I'm expecting Weary to have a big day at the Valley. Camdus is in there as well.
3, 5, and 5, 4. Julesy?
I'm playing around on speed horses, so I'm hoping that the track plays as I think it will with the rail out 4. Race 2, number 5, Linguist. Got the job done at Cranbourne in a pretty good race. Think it can win again. Will be on speed. Hard to beat. Lightweight. And race 5, number 3, Innkeeper. Won the Topaz last week. Building a great record. 7 wins from 9. Goes really good. On speed again.
And, so punters know, that is to beat Camdus, SD's tip.
Yeah, I know.
Love it. You guys, you're not aligned on much, which is how we like it. Don't say that word.
No.
You know duet punters. If you're a duet punter, you don't need to watch anymore.
Ireland's in
the show. Well, we're open to all.
That is
but it's not the show for duet punters, Julesy. Julesy, the 3 wide, no cover, multi. Talk to us.
Yes, we're going with Linguist in Mooney Valley, the place, into Innkeeper, the place.
What?
It's $4 we are offering for our supporters, our punters out there. $4, I know, it's big.
It's not a misprint,
$4. I don't know. Look,
get involved. Just that's all I'll be doing, get involved.
Julesy, I don't have the markets and the calculator to be able to work that out, but I'll tell you one thing I do know. That is a very good price, and that's one I'll be getting around. Okay, so, gentlemen, we are actually about to head on a hiatus here from 3 Wide No Cover. We're having a 4-week break. All great teams need a break.
Bad teams do too.
It's been an absolute pleasure, boys. All the best. If you're having a punt, please gamble responsibly, and we'll be back in July.